This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
Our next guest is on a mission to get you to become more skeptical about the world around you. From dubious commercial claims to hoax stories and everything in between, he says questioning everything is in our best interest.
And he brands skepticism as a constructive and optimistic attitude, a way of life that anyone can and should, he says, embrace.
Joining us now is Guy Harrison. He's a journalist and the author of Think, Why You Should Question Everything. Guy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, you say that skepticism could change humankind for the better overnight. How so?
Absolutely. Believe it or not, the great crisis of our world is weak skepticism, and nobody knows about it. Nobody talks about it. Parents don't teach their kids to be good skeptics. Most teachers don't teach it. Politicians never talk about it. But the truth is, we've got this huge daily disaster of weak skepticism. What I mean by that is that people tend to accept before they analyze. They believe before they think. In short, they don't think like good scientists. And that's bad for the individual. It sets them up to be a victim of scam, con artists, all these kind of things. And also to waste time, money, energy on things that probably just aren't true. And in the bigger picture, it slows all human progress. So we all have a stake in this.
Well, and you do make the case in your book that what we should do is learn to think like a scientist every day, and in short, learn to be skeptical every day, to have that part of our thinking honed. It does sound like it could take some work, being kind of on guard with our skepticism every day. What do we get out of it?
Yeah, well, you get a lot out of it. You get a safer existence, for one thing. But you also, I think, if you embrace reality, and if you commit yourself to questioning everything, because you just kind of adopt, if you adopt a worldview that says, you know, I'm going to take reality as it is, and if you have a personal attitude that says, I'm not going down without a fight. When something comes up to me, some claim or belief, I'm going to make it earn its keep inside my head before I let it in. And I think when you do that, you set yourself up to have a better life. You have more time to get to the good stuff in life, the real stuff, like friends, family, love, creative work, that kind of stuff.
So that paints a pretty rosy picture of skepticism. So does that mean, you know, if you're the resident skeptic, you're at a party and someone's telling you a great story about being abducted by aliens, I mean, are you going to be the buzzkill who says, I don't think so? I mean, is it possible to be a joyful skeptic?
Absolutely. I hope I am one. And I cover that actually in the book. And I say, you know, a skeptic, many people perceive skeptics as just what you said, these buzzkills, these people who just want to rain on everybody's parade and take something away from them. But not at all. Skepticism, if done correctly, is constructive and optimistic. And if somebody at a party says, you know, they bring up the Roswell UFO crash or something like that, I say, wow, you know, that is a great story. I love that story. I know all about it. But did you know this story? And then I'll tell them about the real secret government conspiracy and cover-up that went on at Roswell about these spy balloons that were trying to listen to the Soviet Union testing nuclear bombs and how that was covered up and the government lied. You know, there is a cool story there, but it doesn't really involve aliens. And that's true of almost everything you come across. Somebody tells me a ghost story. Well, I can tell them some great stories about how the human brain actually works and how we all see how we actually see how human vision works and how easy it is for us to be misled by everyday images around us and how it has nothing to do with being crazy or being silly or, you know, your education or anything like that. It's simply part of being human. And people tend to find that interesting. And when you approach people who believe stuff that's probably not true, if you do it as a friend, somebody who's offering a handout to help rather than somebody trying to just win a debate or feel superior, people tend to appreciate it.
Well, and one thing that tends to persuade us is money, is not being skeptical. Someone who goes through life believing a lot of things, maybe putting down money for things, does it come with a pretty big price tag at the end of the day, do you think?
Oh, huge, huge price tag. I've seen it. Big scale, small scale. I say I've been in stadiums, football stadiums, filled with people, thousands of people who were mesmerized by a faith healer up on the stage who was going through his whole routine, and then his little army of, you know, minions or whatever fanned out with these buckets, not plates, but buckets, huge buckets, garbage cans, really, like big plastic garbage cans, and the people, most of them probably lower income people, filled these containers with cash. And then they had other people running around with credit card scanners for those who had credit cards. And I've seen it firsthand how people who are not aware of how our brains so easily deceive us and how we can be manipulated by people who portray things in certain light. If you're not a good skeptic, you can so easily be a sucker. And that bothers me. I don't like to see that. And then in the big picture, you know, look, here we are in economically challenging times, right? But the world is still squandering trillions of dollars on things like astrology, which really have no basis in science or reality. Medical quackery just drains billions of dollars every year, just in America. Worldwide, it's even more of a problem. So, yes, there's a huge price tag that comes with weak skepticism.
Okay, so let's say that this sounds pretty good. We want to bring more skepticism into our thinking life. How hard is it? What are some steps we can take?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's not as hard as you might think. You don't have to put on a lab coat. You don't have to wear safety goggles. You don't have to memorize the periodic table of elements. It's not that hard to think like a scientist in everyday life. What you have to remember is that, first of all, you don't have to always take option A or option B. Most people have this misconception in their mind. They think that if somebody comes and says, hey, there's a ghost over there, you have to either say, yes, that is a ghost, or no, I absolutely know that is not a ghost. Well, no, that's not how scientists work. A lot of times, not knowing is the right answer. Saying, I don't know, I'm ignorant of this situation, I can't give you an answer right now, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Good scientists admit their ignorance all the time. They have to if they're good scientists. So don't ever feel pressured to decide one way or the other when somebody comes at you with an extraordinary claim. But a couple of quick tips is always ask for evidence. Always ask somebody, how do you know this? Simply ask questions. If you ask 5 or 6 good questions, a lot of times these claims just wither and die right in front of your eyes. It's amazing to watch it happen. Just ask questions. And most important, always remember to think before you believe. Think. Do a little bit of work before you come to the conclusion. That's all you have to do. Unfortunately, most people in the world believe before they think.
Do you think you're working against human nature at all with this? Is it in human nature to be kind of a sucker, to want to believe things, to get carried away by stories and things that seem fantastical? Or would you make the argument that we are actually rational creatures, we just have to figure out how to live that more fully?
That's a great question. Yeah, I cover that in depth in the book. The answer is yes and yes. We are both. We are suckers for great stories. We're storytelling machines. Our brains cannot resist a great story, and that's a huge problem with irrational belief. But more importantly, our brains do a great job at navigating through daily life. They do really well for us. They keep us alive. If they hadn't done a good job, we wouldn't be here today. But the way they go about doing the job is not the way that we instinctively imagine that they would go about it. The way we remember things, the way we hear, the way we see, the way we analyze things and come to conclusions about things. We think we're so rational and we're so sensible about it, when actually our brain is playing all sorts of tricks on us, and you need to be aware of that. That's just part of being human, but you got to be aware of it. You got to understand. You got to know. I've got to be a good skeptic. I got to think scientifically. Otherwise, I'm going to constantly make mistakes. Now, as far as are we naturally irrational believing creatures, yes, we are, but we're also naturally rational scientists. That's part of us, too. I used to be a science teacher, and I saw little kids instinctively explore, question, analyze, doubt. I've seen all that. It's in us, too. We've got both. It's just a matter of, you know, and they all have their place, but you've got to ask yourself, okay, what do I want to do? Do I want to go really heavily on this emotional side? Not emotional, I don't want to give emotions a bad name, but do I want to go heavily on this side that just goes with gut feelings and hunches and trusts and the last thing I heard? Or do I want to be a really good thinker, one who is careful about what I make, what conclusions I draw?
Now, you also talk a lot about taking care of our brains. Now, this is our skeptical organ that we have to have in good fighting shape. So then, other than eating well and doing crossword puzzles or Sudoku, what can we do to make sure that our brains stay sharp?
Yeah, it's really important. You know, I've got a whole chapter on that you've got to take care of your brain. And we don't think about it enough because our brains are hidden away inside our skulls, so we don't really see it. But you know, I give an example. People will say, oh, I better not eat any more ice cream. You know, it goes straight to my butt or straight to my thighs or something like that. But you never hear anybody say, whoa, I better ease off on the ice cream here because it just goes straight to my brain and makes me grow a sloppy thinker. But that's the reality. A poor diet, eating bad food makes you a bad thinker. And people need to learn this. And it's very simple. You don't have to have magic potions or take miracle drugs or anything like that. It's, you know, good basic nutrition, leafy green vegetables, blueberries, stuff like that. Lots of water, lots of sleep. You need to rest. And a big thing that's very important is physical activity. Our brains evolved to be perched atop a mobile platform, not a platform that lies on a couch, sits in a chair all day, sits in a car to and from, and never gets up and moves. We are, you know, for 99.9% of human existence, we have been standing and walking most of the day. We average human walk 12 miles a day, okay? This all changed like a century ago, okay? It's pretty recent that this changed. And that's the problem is our brain needs that circulation, that blood flow. It needs that to operate properly. And there's all kinds of good science that I cite in the book that shows this and hopefully will inspire people to get going.
Now, all right. That's a lot of good advice to go right there. Guy, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate all the ideas.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
We've been talking to Guy Harrison. He's the author of Think, Why You Should Question Everything.